your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we tiptoe into these uncomfortable passages of Scripture, Lord, we know we can take good comfort in knowing that this is you. Father, if I were speaking of my own expertise, it'd just be better I kept quiet and sat down. But Father, tonight we raise up your word. Help us, Father, to listen to it, and Lord, be better by it. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. As many of you understand, marriage can be very difficult. It is the melding together of two completely different lifestyles, two completely different desires, and two completely different minds. And when you do that, it doesn't always go perfectly, does it? We use this kind of a joke. You know, there's things that Danielle likes that I don't like, and that's just fine. And there's things that Danielle doesn't like that I like, and that's wonderful. Like when you're ordering for a pizza, I'll take the top, and she don't like. She'll take the ones I don't like, and hey, that's wonderful. For the longest time, I couldn't handle pickles. After COVID, it was weird. I started liking them again. You ever have after you had COVID, were your senses different? I don't know, but I liked them where I never liked them before. Used to be, so whenever I'd get something, I'd have them leave the pickles in there so I could give them on over to my wife. Hey, there you go. Hey, in the small things, that's handy. That's helpful. I don't like mushrooms. She likes them. She doesn't like this. I do. She doesn't like jalapenos. I do. Hey, you swap it around. Hey, that's wonderful. But man, what do you do when there's a guy in the house who likes to leave his pants just outside of the hamper because he knows he's got to come back to it tomorrow to empty the stuff out of it? He might just wear those pants again. And a wife who thinks that that is the most barbaric thing anybody could do. What do you do when you put those two together in the same house? What happens there? What we end up getting is conflict. And that's the point I want to talk about tonight. Conflict within the marriage. I'm sure I'll get some folks uncomfortable. And you know what? If you're here and you're married today, looking at marriage should make us uncomfortable. And if you're here and you're like, well, brother, that doesn't fit me at all, don't worry, I'll catch you another time. All right, we'll all be uncomfortable together. But things are not going well in marriages today. Much of what the Bible says on marriage is no longer popular. However, happy, persevering marriages aren't common anymore either. And I can't help but see the correlation between the two. As we have denied the biblical view of marriage. And I'm not just talking a male and a female. I'm not talking about leaving and cleaving. I'm not talking about making sure God is the rope that binds you two together. I'm talking about down to the way we speak to each other, the way we handle each other, the forgiveness in there. If we neglect those things, we are just as bad at our marriage as those who have a completely different understanding of it. I think we looked at this last year, weird marriages, you know, people who are marrying stuff. You know, that lady that married a bridge, that guy who married a pillow. It's not just that. But if we don't act godly within the home, we're going to have issues. And I think that is why, again, why the marriage in our country and in this world is what it is. When we consider divorce rates, domestic violence, adultery, pornography, single parenthood, long drawn out custody battles, and everything that goes with it, judges, guardian ad litem, social services, mediators, these things are scathing indictments to our country. We have left God in how we handle things. And we sit there and say, well, we've never had a big blow up. You don't have to have a big blow up to be against God. We looked at that back in September, these big blowouts. Hey, it doesn't have to be big. It could be daily, ongoing bitterness. And it comes down to something I believe an old preacher said in light of these verses. He said, 90% of the arguments you will have in your marriage, ladies, it's because you don't feel valued, and men, you don't feel respected. Now, I want you to think of the last argument you had with your spouse, and I want you to consider. Men, was the way you were acting, was that spurned by this feeling of not feeling respected? Ladies, how much of your arguing is because you don't feel like you're a valued individual to your husband? Let's look back at my pants on the side of the hamper. That's mine, by the way. I don't know your business. I only know mine. Let's look at that hamper illustration. I clean this whole house, and he comes in and drops these things right here. I'm going to go ask him, why do you do this? Oh, because I haven't taken any of my stuff out. I still have my belt in there. And honestly, those are my jeans. I got something to do in the morning. I'm going to need those first thing in the morning. So I put them right there so I can find them. To me, perfect sense. To her, what's wrong with you? And we might say in that illustration, now we're going to leave me and Danielle, and we're going to go to a more safe area here. A wife may say to her husband, what's wrong with you? And the husband may sit there and say, well, how dare you make me feel bad in this house, so I'm going to make you feel bad. And then she goes, how dare you undervalue me in everything that I do in this house, so I'm going to hurt you. Does this sound familiar? I bet it does. Because that's how conflict happens. He'll sit there and come home, and the moment he comes in, he's buzzing from the work day. He goes to sit down, and there she is. Hey, I've got a list of stuff for you to do. What's he say? I don't feel respected. I'm only valued around here for what I can do. Whereas she'll sit there and she'll cook a meal. He'll say nothing over it. Or she'll do something different with her hair. Or she'll get this great thing happen to her at work. And she'll come home and talk about it. And he goes, uh-huh. She doesn't feel valued. She doesn't feel good. And while these illustrations, they're funny when Tim Allen does it, there can be detrimental to a long-term living arrangement with another human being. Right? The things that play out on TV, they're funny. But when they happen in our home, they can be a problem. And I've heard many people, they look at verse 33 and they get upset by it. There's other ones where it says, husbands or wives, submit yourselves to your husbands. But 5:33, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife as himself. And the men, we sit there, we go, all right, I can love her. That's no big deal. But the ladies move on and they see that word reverence and they go, now, hey, wait a minute. Why does he get commanded to love, but I'm commanded to reverence? You know what that reverence word means? Exactly what it says. And that's hard. But it really comes down to that respect. Wives, respect your husbands. Submit to them. And we've talked about this before. It's not because his brain is bigger than yours. Let's be honest, he's not God. When the Bible says you ought to submit to him as we ought to submit to God, he's not God. And ladies, we know we're not. I've met a few guys I've questioned, but most of us will sit there and tell you, we are some of the worst people on earth. Right? When you come at us and say, hey, listen, you've left this out, this has happened. Hey, you promised me you'd take care of that. We know we've let you down. It's not about making us feel like we're God. It's not about admitting that you are a lesser thing than us, because that's not true either. God puts the same value on a man as he does a woman, and that's flat. The ground is level at the foot of the cross. We've all amen that before. The fact of the matter is this, is he put the man there in that spot, and he gave him a desire for that respect. We're not talking about outright obedience. We're not talking about this image in our head we get where the woman doesn't get to share an opinion. She doesn't get to talk. She's just barefoot, pregnant, and cooking something in the kitchen. That's not what we're talking about. We want to pair that idea with the Proverbs 31 woman who is handling the business and is taking care of things and is intelligent and is powerful and she can get things done and she's got some respect in that house. We're pairing that with that word submit. That in the end, only one person gets that say, and that ought to be him. And guys, we are fools if we don't listen to her. I've met a lot of men like that. Well, she's a simple-minded thing, but I'm a man. You better watch yourself. Most of men I know are exactly like what God said toward Adam. It ain't right for him to be alone. It ain't right. We sit there, we see this idea that we are two halves of the same whole. But believe you me, though women are to submit to their husbands, we know we are not God. But you ought to know this. You ought to know this. He loves you. He doesn't do a good job of showing it. Gentlemen, we know this, right? Ladies, we know this. We don't always hit the mark. And there ought to be asking for forgiveness in that. There ought to be apologies. There ought to be working hard to show value. But remember in this that he loves you. And he most likely has good intentions. At least we ought to have good intentions, right, guys? Good intentions. So many of arguments, and we'll look at this in a little bit, so many of arguments is because we assume the other person doesn't have good intentions. Why? Because you immediately feel devalued, you immediately feel disrespected, and it's off to the battle. Right? What we instead need to do is we need to remember that the other one loves you, they chose you, they're still there. They're still there, they love you. And you need to love him. With his smelly clothes and his broken promises and the fact that he doesn't seem to respect you, you need to love him. Because you didn't marry a perfect person. And I tell you what, if you found a perfect person, you might just want to leave him alone. Because you bring him down. There ain't no such thing as a perfect man. There ain't no such thing as a perfect woman. We each have flaws, and if we're going to love each other, we got to love those flaws too. With the understanding that as we submit to God, those flaws go away, right? We're not arguing for the fact that if you're foul-mouthed to your spouse, we're just going to accept that and love that. The foul-mouthed spouse needs to get it together. There needs to be that proper behavior. These things work in a world where both spouses are submitted to God first. Where my behavior is a reflection on him, where my behavior is owed to him, so I'm going to be the best wife, I'm going to be the best husband I can, because God is watching over it. Right? That is where this works. However, if you've got a situation where maybe you don't care about God's opinion of your behavior, you're gonna have some liberality in your decision making, and it's going to make a mess. So I say, assume, when it comes down to your husband, assume good intentions. He probably didn't forget because it didn't matter to him. He probably didn't neglect because he didn't think you were worth it. He probably made a mistake. Right? Now, I guess it does depend on the mistake, too. I told Danielle one time, this probably wasn't good. I pick stuff up on the internet and I try it off at home. And I typically let people know how that goes. So fellas, if you ever look at your wife and say, hey, listen, if I promise you I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it. No need to remind me of it every 6 weeks. That doesn't work. That doesn't help you out any. Listen, if you mean good to her, do good. But ladies, assume good intentions. Assume he's not trying to hurt you. Assume he doesn't think anything less of you. Assume you are still the dear thing in his heart. The next thing we need to do is be honest. Be honest. I don't know why it is when we get angry, honesty is the furthest stone from our hand. You talk to so many people, and people will talk to me every now and then. Well, what's going on? Well, they did this, and they did this, and they did this, and they did this, and they did this. Okay, but what are you really mad about? Well, don't you think these are terrible things? Don't you think he's an awful person? Do you want me to shoot him, or do you want the relationship to get better? Because right now, you're hanging him or her. Most often, the people I talk to are guys. Are you hanging her? Or are you trying to love her? Are you trying to convince me she's a rotten person? Or do you want things to be better? If you want things to be better, you got to be honest. They did this and it made me feel insecure. They did this and it made me feel unappreciated. I didn't feel valued by him when he said that. We need to be honest about it. When you did that, I felt disrespected. Honesty is what God tells us to be, right? Be honest. It's what's expected out of us, honesty. But if we're not honest, we have to acknowledge that we're going to cause some damage. You get that every now and then. Well, I told him I was angry at this, but what I was really angry about was this other thing, right? That alarm going off every morning. You know, he'll set his alarm, and that alarm will go off, and he doesn't get up to it for another 15 minutes, just burr, 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 burr. And then later, when she's picking a fight with him over what they're going to watch on TV, she's really still cranky about that. But we're making it about this. If you're angry about something, voice that thing. And that is not a gendered thing. That's all of us. If you're angry at something, say that's what you're angry at. Well, I had to stop and think. Listen, if your mouth is going and you're not actually having a good, clear picture of what's going on inside of you, don't talk. It'd be like getting in your car before you knew where you were going. When we talk like that, that's what it is. The only problem is we crash things with our mouths a whole lot more often than we crash things with our car. You need to be careful. You better know where you're going before you open your mouth. And if you are careful about it, if you are emotionally and verbally honest, you're going to have a better time cleaning things up. Yeah, I'll do that every now and then. You know, what are you so grumpy about? I don't say that to her. She'll say that to me. What are you so grumpy about? And I'll sit there and every now and then I just go, you know what? I don't even know. That's the time where you go out back and you pray. It's important to be like that. Because there was a time in my life I'd look for something to be grumpy about. You ever do that? Don't do that. I am grumpy. What am I grumpy about? Was it this? Was it that? I don't know. We'll make it about other people. And it's really just the fact that you woke up with a sideways spirit. You need to get it straightened out with the Lord. Be honest. Honesty is very valuable. Honesty is going to help. And how about this? Assume their honesty. You be honest. And assume some intelligence in your husband. It has become the growing trend with sitcoms and kids' TV shows, to just automatically assume that the man is the dumbest creature on earth. We're not. Why on earth would it be fitting for you as a spouse to assume that the person you claim to love is stupid? It's not good. But yet, wives, that is kind of the thing that's come up. Men, it happens to us too. You automatically assume there's something mentally wrong with your wife. Sometimes we do that because we want to prove ourselves more intelligent. It goes back to that game of, well, I'll feel more respect when I put you down, and I'll feel more valued when I devalue you. If I can hurt you enough, I'll get back what I've lost, which we know doesn't work. Doesn't work at all. We must assume some intelligence. I like that about my wife. I'll pick on her. She's not here. Doesn't matter how dumb of a thing I do, she still assumes I'm an intelligent person. I'm trying hard to fix that inclination she has. She'll say that. She'll say that. Why is this happening? Oh, I forgot that. Oh, okay, I just assumed that you were going to go do this, and that's why it was there. Like, oh, yeah, that was a much more intelligent excuse. You know, assume some intelligence in your partner. It can't be that bad. And if it is that bad, you love them, right? Take care of them. And I'll tell you this. If we're going to ask the women to assume intelligence or good intentions, honesty and intelligence out of us, we ought to have those things. We ought to demonstrate those things. Because I absolutely hate the idea where we would tell someone to assume these things about their husband and their husband is a complete and total war pig about things. Right? They're just cantankerous and they're awful and they're combative. And yet we're telling women, well, I'll just go along with it because the Bible says to reference. No, man, we need to keep our business clean. We need to keep things right. Right? Right for her, but more importantly, right in the eyes of God. We need to be right in those things. So there ought to be some intelligence in our decision making. There ought to be a lot. There ought to be honesty in what we're doing, and we ought to have good intentions. And we would say also in this reverence is bring him respect. Treat him in respectful ways. 1 Peter 3 verse 5 says, for after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. Now, Abraham, we looked at Abraham. Abraham put his foot in it, didn't he? Abraham messed up. How many times did he leave his wife in a vulnerable situation? That's not my wife, that's my sister. Well, we'll go marry her then, and we'll bring her into the harem. Okay. And thankfully the Lord turned things around because he makes sure his promises get fulfilled. But were it not for the Lord, Abraham would have hurt his wife over and over again. But yet what did Sarah still call him? Lord. Now men, that ought to humble us. But ladies, you ought to bring that respect to your husband. Create scenarios where you treat him with respect. Create situations where you're showing him love and that you're listening and that his opinion matters. Because we get into this whole thing where, respect him, treat him like his opinion matters. Oh, so only his opinion matters? Did you know there's this thing where you can take a little bit of someone's opinion and a little bit of another person's opinion, and you could come up with a really good idea? Do you ever hear that? It's like mixing peanut butter and chocolate. You can make some magic. You put some things together. But we don't see it that way. We see it from either the misogynist or the feminist point of view of one must always. I tell you what, a good couple knows how to put things together. Right? Well, I want to go to Taco Bell. Well, I want to go to Burger King. All right, well, let's go to Taco Bell for the tacos and let's go to Burger King for the fries. And there you go. Don't do that. That's bad for you. But you get my point, right? Well, I want to go someplace sunny and warm. Well, I want to go someplace historic. So you put it together and you come up with something nice. Well, I think the toilet, I hate this one. I think the toilet paper ought to be over. I think the toilet paper ought to be under. I got 6 people in my house. I'm just glad there's toilet paper. People argue over the silliest of things. Compromise. Talk about it. You know, I knew a couple one time, they told me that was a source of contention in their home. They had 2 bathrooms. They have one bathroom where it's over, one bathroom where it's under. I said, I guess that works. The other thing to do is probably not be so uptight about simplistic things. But it's not about who automatically is going to have the best opinion. It is everyone loving, it is one loving the other. Two parts of one flesh getting along and being able to compromise, put things together, and think together. Think together. Well, sometimes I feel like my opinion is laid aside. Listen, sometimes you're just going to have a hard time getting the other person to see things your way. It's just not going to happen. I tried to get Danielle okay with me installing a swimming pool in the house over there in Flushing so the kids could play inside when it was rainy. She thought that was a dumb idea. I felt disrespected. But upon thinking on it for 30 seconds, I realized she was right. That was stupid. Right? Sometimes we got to get over ourselves. Right? Ladies, oh, well, he doesn't listen to me. Maybe he does. But maybe he knows something you don't. Maybe you're not selling the pitch right. Maybe there's something flawed about it. Hey, listen, if we love each other, there needs to be a softness towards each other to where when the other person talks, we don't grit our teeth. We don't get frustrated. And if we do, we need to talk about it. Hey, listen, I felt disrespected for so long, or hey, listen, I don't feel valued for so long. I'm really having a hard time sitting down and making decisions with you. You need to have that conversation. And you need to pray together before you have it. Proverbs 21:19 tells us this, and this is not a very politically correct verse. It's not a very well-accepted verse, but it says this: it is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and angry woman. You know what that means? Well, what a very misogynistic thing to say. You know what it's saying? Don't be brutal. Don't be a fighter. Don't be a barbarian in that house. We get this idea, happy wife, happy life. No, it won't. That's not the way it is. You don't give in to one side and create happiness in a marriage. That's a one-sided marriage, whether it's the male, whether it's the female, it doesn't matter. A one-sided marriage is like rowing on one side of a canoe. You're going in circles and someone's going to drown. Silly. Don't be contentious. Don't be somebody who needs to fight or bicker. I think of this. Sometimes we get so defensive and sometimes we get so insecure in our marriages that we're kind of like a chihuahua. You ever have a chihuahua? Now listen, when a pit bull bites you, a pit bull will hurt you. It will do significant amount of damage, but you are hands down, without question, more likely to get bit by a chihuahua. Absolutely, right? Some people, that's how we get with our emotions. That's why we go fast. And I say people because I mean people. We get so quick to being defensive, we're okay with yapping, snapping, and snarling just to make sure the other person... Just to make sure that we're not put down or somebody else's opinion doesn't get out there. It's not good. Don't be contentious. You're going to cause trouble in there. Also, you're going to end up siding with foolishness if the only thing that's ever right is the opposite of what he says. I talked to somebody sometime. They're giving that testimony. They said, yeah, listen, sometimes I'll just disagree with him because I'm so angry at him. Well, that thing that you said, did you believe it? No. That thing that you said you wanted, did you actually want it? No. Did he give it unless you have it? Yes. So you ended up having to suffer through something you didn't want, but you said you wanted just to spite him? Yeah. Anybody here, you think that sounds like a happy life? You won the battle, but you lost the war, right? You felt like you scored some points. And hey, how about this as far as contention goes? Who in your house manages the scoreboard over zingers? Anybody got a scoreboard at home? You say something slick and you get to add a point to it. She says something hurtful and she gets to add a point. Who's doing that? Hey, anybody here, you got the studio audience sitting at your house, looking down there going, good one. Applause in the background. My house didn't come with that. But you know who is there? The Lord. And he's looking at your heart and he's hearing what's coming out of your mouth. And he knows you're messing up. He knows. Our things are not isolated. You know, whether you're... Nowadays, people will text by... will fight by text. And when you fight by text, you don't have to look at a person cry. So you just... You let it loose. Do you know the Lord can read those? He doesn't even have to file anything with the local phone company to do it. He just knows what's going on. He sees you while you're typing it. He sees those words as they roll up vile in your heart. He knows they're there. And we're accountable to him. We're accountable to him. So don't seek his hurt so you can feel good. Because I'm going to tell you something you already know. Many of you have lived longer than me. You already know this. Seeking his hurt ain't going to make you feel good. Seeking his hurt ain't going to make you feel good. Fellas, I'd say the same. Looking to try to quote-unquote put her in her place or knock her down a peg ain't going to make you feel like a man. You're going to feel miserable later. All right, moving on from the ladies on to the men. Husbands, we ought to do what? Love our wives as Christ loved the church. You know what Christ did for the church? He took care of the church. He started the church. Sacrificed himself for his church. When we look at these verses of how we are being told or how Paul is telling us how to act in our marriages, We see that admonition that we ought to love her. She craves love. She craves to be valued, much the same as we crave to have respect. We want to feel respected. And a lot of times when we go to battle and arguments, it's because we feel insecure in that we're not being treated like an adult. We're not being treated with respect, and that causes great frustration. But listen, she needs to be valued. So take care of her. What does it mean to take care of her? Number one, it means to put her needs over yours. A lot of men have a hard time doing that in this world where there's so many single mothers. Oh, yeah, well, that's her problem. And the men will bounce out and they'll go to other places. Take care of her needs. Well, you know, hey, listen, honey, I got a bit of a cold today. I was supposed to do this. These were my chores for the day. Danielle's got us on a chore chart. I don't get stickers. I don't get stickers. I wish I got stickers, but we're on a chore chart. I think the kids get prizes. I don't. But we're on a chore chart. Hey, listen, I can't get to my stuff today. I don't feel good. Don't worry, hon. I'll take care of it. Hey, listen, I don't feel good. All right, well, let me bring you home something. What do you want? Gatorade? What do you want? Sprite? Though this is Michigan. Verner's? You want some Verner's? You know, what do you need? None of this, well, what can she do for me? What do I get out of it? Take care of her. Why? Because she's useless and unable to do it herself? No. Because you value her. Because you value her. See, when we get this idea of chivalry, the modern day look at it is, oh, you're taking care of her because she's not strong enough to take care of herself. No, it's a sign of respect and love. You ever open a door for somebody? I got it. I know you got it. I was just being nice. Close that door. Now you can get it yourself. It's about respect. It's about love. Doing something you don't have to do now. Right? That's it. What does she need? You know, when you come home, and in my particular case, you know, I'll come home. Danielle's been with the kids all day. Now listen, kids, earmuffs. I love them to death, but if you've ever been home alone with kids all day, it'll drive you nuts. You have the best kids on earth. If you're an adult and you spend you spend all day on a childish level, it's going to be very rough on you. What do you need? What do you need? I used to do this when we were back down in Southgate. I used to come home. I'd talk to her. I'd call her on the way home. How's everything going? It's good. That's code, by the way. It's not good. That's code for we're doing the best we can, but I'm just under the house being on fire, right? Everyone's alive. Nothing's burning. That's where we are. Stop off at the ATM, grab 60 bucks out of it, put it in her hand. You're not allowed to come back until that's spent. Go. What am I supposed to? I don't care, right? The old days of wait till your father gets home. You know why we stopped saying that? Because dad stopped doing stuff when they came home. They plunk down on the couch, they turn on the television, they crack a beer, they scroll through their phone. They're scarce to handle the issues in the house. They're scarce to handle what's going on with their spouse, what's going on with their work, what's going on with the things that are important to them. We need to put her needs over ours, which means we put the stuff down when she's talking to us. The remote, the phone, the book, fishing pole, we put it down. How about this one? You put her wants over yours. Can I tell you what I was convicted over lately? I'll tell you this, it's a little embarrassing, but you know me, I don't have much shame anyway. I have a rule, and you could tell I have this rule. I don't share food. I don't share food. Right? If I get something, it's mine. And that's been it. I didn't share it with Danielle. I didn't share it with the boys. Things have been a little rocky over the last 3 years in the sharing food department. I'll be sitting with my lunch. These tiny little hands will come over. I got convicted over that. I'd never shared a single French fry with my wife. I'd give that little girl half my lunch. On the rare occasion, I'll cut up some cucumbers. I'll be snacking on some cucumbers. Oh, she's right there. She's right there. That got me. Because I can't remember which one of the, I can't remember who it was, but they reached over to grab a cucumber, and I felt incensed that they would try it, and I'd already given four or five to her. What about putting your wife's wants over yours? Not just her needs. What about putting her wants first? And I'm not just talking about food. Her desires. What would make her happy? Something as simple as passing the remote control over to her, even though those cooking shows give you anxiety. All the way out to where do you want to go? What do you want to do? What color do you want this to be? There's some things I've got heavy opinions on how I like things. I keep my mouth shut. I let her do it. You know? She'll do something in the house I don't like. You're the only ones who know that that's going on right now. Why? Because it's not important, is it? When we're dealing in wants, is it really important? At the end of the day, what is the value of getting your way when it comes down to a want? Now, in a perfect marriage, everyone is getting a little bit of what they want, and there's compromise, and it's wonderful. We're not, again, talking about a one-sided deal. But what if instead of puffing our chest out on the stuff that doesn't matter, we just said yes? For no other reason than to see her smile, guys. For no other reason than to make sure that she just had one extra little thing in her day that made her smile. It's nothing. It's nothing really. Putting her wants over yours. And I would say this, not in obedience. Not in, well, what she says, she gets. But out of love. I want her to have this. I want her to get this. What wouldn't you want? What about what you want? She'll take care of me in another way. Right? On another day, at another time, another vacation, another trip out, another date night. She'll reciprocate. But I'm going to make sure she's got what she wants. Make sure things go her way. Oh, how much more value she would feel you have for her if we put first her needs and her wants. After all, is that not what Christ did? Did he not come down and die for you? Does he not give you the desires of your heart and abundantly bless you every day? He does. That is the love he shows for you. And oh yeah, let's talk about his ongoing forgiveness, his ongoing love, his ongoing patience. And I'll tell you this, if a man's got a problem with his spouse, it is most likely patience. It's okay, you don't have to amen that. I'm stinging myself. It's patience. Love. Forgiveness. And there's plenty needed on both sides. If she is willing to overlook and forgive, you must too. Not only take care of her, but men, we need to adore her. We need to lift her up. Talk about how beautiful she is. Happens every now and then in my house. That looks really nice. And I don't know if you noticed this, but my family, Danielle and I, we don't take compliments very well. You know? That looks really nice, hon. Yeah. She goes, I don't think so. I go, yeah, but you've got bad taste in things. Look at who you married. I got good taste. I'll tell you, that looks good. Lift her up. Tell her good things about her. Again, that would involve you being engaged in the conversation, engaged in the relationship. But lift her up. Don't lie to her. Don't bluff. Don't sit there and on one knee recite a Shakespearean sonnet if that's not your thing. Be you. Be honest, but adore her. Tell her how much value she has in your eyes. Invest in her interests. Invest in her interests. There may be things in your marriage that you have no want or care for whatsoever. Go along with it. Right? Go along with it. Invest a little bit. Hey, how's that thing you're working on? What's that thing you were doing? How is it? Hey, that's wonderful. My wife, she loves to paint, or she loves to draw and things like that. She is one of a handful of artists I allow on my walls. You go down by my bed, there's two. There's a third one she doesn't know I have. When we were in the sixth grade, she drew me a picture. And I still have it. But she doesn't let me hang that up because she says she wasn't proud of it. I'm proud of it. But I go next to my bed, there's a handful of things that she's drawn. One of the first things I look at when I wake up in the morning. you know what, I really don't know a lot about art. I really don't care about art. But I'll be honest with you, I love that. I love that. And we need to show that interest. We need to show that love. And I'm using me as an example, but trust me, I have failed in this. You know I have. We've all failed in this, I'm sure. Shower her with love and praise and adoration. See, the problem with us guys is we're not used to being told attaboy. We're not used to it. We go to work and we're fighting for what? We're fighting for respect at work. We're fighting for respect among our brothers. We're always having to be the tough guy. And what we fail to realize is that everybody else in our lives need to be told they're appreciated. While such sentiment would be disastrous in the man's kingdom, your children and your spouse, they need to hear it. I'll even say this, in our church, the way the men tell each other they love each other, I like that. Some people think it's weird. I think it's important. I think it's important. You know, I'll get on the phone with somebody, hey, love you too. And you sit there, you get weird looks every now and then. Oh, is that your wife? Oh, no, that was one of the guys at our church. I think it's important. Never forget that the people around you need to be showered with love. They need to be told they're loved. They need to be told that they're appreciated and how much value we have. And how about this? Don't undervalue her. Sometimes we think that we can score a point on that imaginary board if we say something that undermines her or cuts her down or makes her feel bad. However, Proverbs 3:15 says, "She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared to her." Got to be careful with that. Would you undercut the value of a precious stone? Would you undermine a beautiful piece of jewelry that you own? You wouldn't even dare of it, right? You wouldn't pay allow someone to pay pawn store prices for your good watch. But yet we treat our wives like something simple, like something common. She is a friend. She is a partner. And never forget, this kind of sounds like a joke, but it's true. Never forget the blessing it is, the fact that a woman would love you to begin with. Because when you add up everything going on with you, it is a blessing that she would even bother. Right? Man, when she met you, you probably had washboard abs, a full head of hair that was one color. You were probably able to run up the hill and carry big things. You're probably able to carry her over the threshold with all the luggage too, man. You brought things to the party. You had a great job with wonderful future planned ahead of you. And then you look at yourself with the sagging tummy and the you know, you're not the woman she met. You're not the man she met. You better not be the woman she met, but you better be the man she met. But you're not the man she met. You need to remember how valuable it is that she's taking time with you. Need to understand that. You need to make sure she knows that you appreciate what's going on there. Proverbs 18:22, "Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord." You need to treat your wife like it's a good thing. It's a good thing you got her. Because all too quickly, life changes and gets hard. So we must guard our actions. 1 Peter 3, verse 5, "For after this manner in the old time," we already read this, "the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement." Verse 7, "Likewise ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife, as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered." You put some love in that voice. You put some value in your actions towards her. You show her just how lost you'd be without her. And I'll even say this, Proverbs 26:21, "As coals are to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife." Oh, we came back with that contentious word again. But this time it's aimed at us. We need to watch our contentious words. Fellas, Your wives need to feel safe around you. They need to feel safe. No hard words. No aggression. No violence. I tell you what, a man who raises his hand to a woman has problems. And there used to be a time when other men could do something about it. Of course, those things are discouraged nowadays. But whether it's verbal, physical, or just good old-fashioned mental, we need to make our wives feel safe. So what do we avoid then? As time is running out, what do we avoid? Number one, avoid making yourself the center of the relationship. Men, women alike, you're not the biggest deal in that marriage. You're not the main character. You're not the lead actor. You're one of a half. And if anybody is the center of your relationship, it must be the Lord. Because my obedience to the Lord is going to draw me closer to her. Her obedience to the Lord is going to draw her closer to me. And we're all going to be close to the Lord. And our behavior is going to be right. She's going to appreciate the way I'm acting. I'm going to appreciate the way she's acting. Because we're both in obedience to God. God must be the head of every home. The Lord must be who we reverence and who we build up in those things. Your desire to get your way shouldn't cost their dignity or their respect. We think about Abraham and Sarah. He cared so much about what he wanted. He didn't want them to kill him for his wife, so he just pretended she wasn't his wife. We need to be careful with that. And ladies, it's treating your husband like an old fuddy-duddy, like an old fool, isn't doing you any favors. It's disrespectful to him. It's disrespectful to yourself. And more importantly, that kind of behavior in a marriage, male or female, is disrespectful to God. If he is the center, we must respect each other and love each other the way God tells us to love even our enemies. And I would say this, if you're right, if it comes down to an argument, if you're right and you can prove it, gently do so. If you're wrong, repent. Now, how do I know? Well, number one, you come in looking to have a meeting of the minds instead of a battle of the spouses. We were driving through, Danielle pointed out, that it looks like they're going to put in one of those MMA fighting things down here off of Clio. I didn't see it for myself, but that's what it looks like, those MMA fighting gyms. There's a lot of houses already like that. Well, I'm going to show her this. I'm going to show him that. And before you know it, you just tired each other out and you didn't get anywhere. But don't we feel important? Don't we feel powerful? Don't we feel like we got something done? No, no. If we're wrong, repent. Listen to what the other one is saying. You know what? You could also do this other thing. It's called research. We also do this other thing. It's called getting down on our knees and praying. Or how about this, hitting pause on the conversation until you're both right with the Lord and you can proceed forward. One of the most powerful things that you can do to stop fights in your arguments, fights in your marriage, is to learn how to hit pause. All right, we need to take a five. Well, I'm not being crazy. Yeah, but I am. I like this one. It sounds like we're getting angry. I'm not angry. Okay, but I am. So let's take a break. Well, that's your problem. I know. I'll take care of me. You take care. Come on. It does. It's like a sitcom. I'm quoting sitcom stuff, but it's relatable. It's relatable. Admit when you're wrong. No manipulation, emotional or otherwise. Well, remember that time 2 years ago when you... Now listen, that's how you're supposed to have a godly marriage. You're supposed to have forgiven that stuff when? 2 years ago. That's like that husband who complained to his pastor. Pastor, you got to help us out. We're having issues at home. Oh no, what's going on? Well, every time my wife gets upset, she gets historical. You mean hysterical? No. She keeps bringing stuff up. Why? And oh, and the joke, it's the woman, but it goes both ways. Oh yeah, remember that last time you were wrong? Ha ha! And sometimes we'll do it. It has absolutely nothing to do with the argument. We're just pointing out another time they messed up. hey, listen, I'd really like it if you stopped leaving the car on E. Well, I'd really appreciate it if you started doing some dishes around here. Well, I'd really appreciate it if you'd stop snoring at night. Well, I'd really appreciate it if you... What are we really talking about? I don't feel valued and I don't feel respected. That's what we're talking about. But that's not where it goes. We get manipulative. How can I hurt you to make me feel good? Don't do it. Did you do this? You know you did, but what do you say? No, I didn't. That's not godly. It's not honest. And let's not have a habit of a lack of decorum in our conversations. You got to remember you're supposed to be a civilized human being. You got to remember that you are not a dog barking through a fence, but one person who's supposed to love another person. So how about this? Let's not cut each other off. If I respect him and I value her, I'm not going to cut her off when she's talking. I'm not going to cut him off when he's talking. I'm going to have some respect. Now, I've got that a little bit of a problem. I'm bad on the telephone. Some of you might know. I'll get excited about what you're saying. I'll start talking before you're done. That's a bad habit. But some people do it because they don't want to hear what the other person's about to say. And if you're doing it for that, that's not godly. Have some love. Have some respect. Even if they're as wrong as the day is long, behave yourself in a godly way. It wouldn't hurt to listen and consider. Well, I don't think that's what I did. Did you know you can be incredibly hurtful without meaning to? I do it every day. You know, maybe not in my marriage, but man, I'll say stuff. I was talking to somebody. I was paying the bill for something. And I said, hey, listen, I'd like to add a tip on there. And it was late. They were about to close. I hate being somewhere where they're about to close. And I said, hey, listen, did you have the receipt that would print out? I could give you a tip. And I said, oh, yeah, I don't know how to do that. And I'm like, oh, I guess it'd be too late for us to try to figure that out now. And the guy looked stunned and hurt. And I, you know, this happened a couple years ago. I'll remember it for a very long time. Because what I meant to say was, I don't want to trouble you for staying here later. I would much rather find another way to make this right than to cause you any discomfort and make you stay late. What he heard was, I'm ripping you off and I'm okay with it because it's too late. You made a bad decision, so I'm going to get away with this. And I could see it in his face. And later when I was driving in the car, I could hear it in my head going, I know exactly what happened there. Sometimes what comes out of your mouth isn't what you meant, but you can still hurt somebody. Now, is that your fault? We could debate that all day, and some of us have. Or we could sit there and say, all right, listen, that's not what I meant, but I'm totally sorry for having hurt you that way. That's not what I want to do. I did bad there. All right, I'm sorry. I'm going to be real careful with that. Right? And then you actually do have to be careful with that. Hey, honey, I didn't mean to make you feel like I don't respect you, but I can absolutely see where that kind of came through, whether you do or not. You know, whether you do or not, try. Try to see it from their point of view. Hey, I didn't mean to make you feel disrespected, but I tell you what, I hear you that you say that you have been. And I want to make that right. I want to let you know that's not how I feel and that's not what's going to happen in the future. Hey, honey, listen, I know that sounded completely ungrateful of me. I know that sounded really demeaning of me. And I'm sorry. That wouldn't kill us, would it? You practice that in the mirror if you're having a hard time with it. Just make sure he or she ain't home so they don't walk into the bathroom and catch you doing something weird. Don't cut each other off. Listen and consider. And remember you love them. Remember you love them. Why is it that three times, four times over, women are told to submit to their husbands, but men are told to love their wives? A lot of it's because we're going to mess up on that. And it seems as though the Lord inspired Paul to write it or Peter to write it. Because he knew we'd mess up. Because it wasn't just Paul that said it. Everyone gives Paul a hard time for his advice on marriage, but he's got it figured out. But Peter said it too, as we just read, so what are we going to do? Peter, the most verbally impulsive person we read about in the Bible, he's talking about it. How do you think he knows about it? Because Peter had a wife. And Peter knew that if he was failing, it was because he wasn't valuing her. And he knew that when he was upset, it was because she wasn't respecting him. Now that word submission means exactly what it says. And that can be hard, but we have to remember it's not about our intelligence, it's not about our value in God's eyes. That's God's design. But the reason why he tells the woman to do that is because man has an issue with respect and women have an issue giving that respect to men. And we can argue that it's because men don't show they deserve it. Men, we ought to deserve it. And women, or men, some, and men, we have a hard time showing value and love to our wives. And we need to. And we could do the same. We could sit there and argue, well, she's not being very valuable to me. Women, you ought to try. If you're trying to please God in your marriage, and he's trying to, you know, if you're both trying to please God in your marriage, your needs, your wants, your they're going to be handled. You're going to have them. But it is when we try to handle things carnally with disrespect and with a lack of value, that's when we have the issues we see today. That's when we have the problems that we see. And we've ignored this problem, and I say we editorially, but we ignore this problem to the point to where now you've got one guy paying 12 different women for child support. When did that become normal? You know, when you've got a guy who'll sit there and he'll get married and he'll have a couple kids with a lady and he'll disappear one night. The old, I'm going to get milk. How does that happen? We leave the biblical definition of marriage. And if we are not living the way God tells us to live in that marriage, we're doing the same. Now, I hope everyone here is as uncomfortable as me. Because you got to listen to it. You got to sit there faceless listening to it. I had to preach it. But I tell you what, if we've got some issues, we need to repent of it. Now, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, forgive me for going so long tonight. But when I'm preaching on my sin or common sin, you know what? I can't shut up. Lord, I pray that you help us. Help us in our communication. Help us in our treatment of each other. Help us, Lord, when you look down into our homes, you find something of value. You find something that you can be proud of. And Lord, I pray that as we obey you and we serve you and we become closer knit together in our marriages, that Father, we become happier and we see the value of it. Lord, we lift your name up in praise and give credit like we've talked about this morning. We give credit where it's due. Because, Father, your advice, your words, your commands can fix so many of the problems we have here out on earth. We're just too foolish to put them into practice sometimes. Lord, forgive us for that. Be with us now as we go our way. Lord, we love you. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.